God. Amen.
Amen.
Lady Thomas on the way up here. You behind me. Amen. All right. Praise God.
Amen.
As we get ready to get started on this thing, amen.
Amen.
As y'all know, hopefully you already feel welcome to the church. By now, you hugged enough people, got enough hugging in,
amen.
And you're feeling welcome and good. Amen.
Amen.
So as you know, we are in a series entitled Nobody's Fool, a relationship series. And we've been dealing with all kind of things in relationships. So I got a little something for y'all. There was two men on a plane. And they sit next to each other. Two men on a plane, they sit next to each other. As the man was sitting down, he said, "Hey, bro, you know your wedding ring's on the wrong finger?" He looked at his hand. He said, "No, it's not on the wrong finger. I put it on the wrong finger because I married the wrong woman."
Uh-oh.
Praise God. Amen. So I can attest that I talked to people and dealt with counseling, and some people feel just like that brother. They didn't know who they were saying I do to or what they were saying I do to. They just said I do, and now they in trouble. So we got to be careful. So today, you already know, most of you is, why did I get married to? Built on from last week. So some people have been dealing with this issue with marriage, and we're going to talk about marriage today, and I hope that this helps you guys, those that are singles, divorcees, married, or looking to get married, all those things, because we're going to go deep into these things. And this is the fifth message when we've been dealing with relationships. And whether you're single, wherever you're at in your life, you got to understand, why did I get married? If you don't understand your why you got married, then understand God's why he created marriage, you're going to be in trouble. You got to understand those things. If I know why I got married, that helps me to understand who I am. But why God created marriage, it helps me to understand why God did it. Then I can place all these things together. Then guess what? My marriage should go to another level.
Amen.
Yeah. We want kingdom marriages up in here. Amen. Kingdom marriages.
Amen.
Up in here. Amen. So, but if we're going to have a kingdom marriage, guess what? We got to understand, take a kingdom approach to a kingdom agenda.
Amen.
Because marriage is a kingdom agenda. Amen.
Amen. And Pastor, that brings me to a point. Getting married for the wrong reasons can have major consequences.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. Getting married for the wrong reasons can have major consequences. And none of us really, you know, we tell our kids, oh, there's a consequence behind that. There's a consequence behind this consequence. But what about adults having consequences? So we're going to talk about a little bit about this.
All right. Amen. Amen.
So if you didn't listen last week, please listen to it. Get caught up, because I ain't got time to recap. We got to build on this. Amen. So three things we're going to talk about today I want you to understand is roles, communication, and intimacy. All those things are very important if you want to have a marriage. You got to understand our role as husband and wife. You don't have that understanding, you're in trouble already. You got to communicate. Communication is key. You'd be surprised how many people don't know how to communicate.
Yeah.
No, I was one of them. I didn't know how to communicate. Oh, my gosh. She talked too much. So you got her to want to talk all the time. I don't want to talk. Oh, man. It was just a mess. This was in our dating days. And now I probably communicate too much now. Now I communicate a lot. I want to make sure we got an understanding, because I noticed if you don't have an understanding, you don't have anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're like speaking two different languages now. And how far are you going to get anything? We're speaking two different languages.
Amen.
So communication is key. Then the last thing is intimacy. And I put that last on purpose, because if the roles is right and the communication is right, the intimacy is going to be off the chain.
Amen.
You gotta have them two things first. You have the intimacy you think is off the chain, but if you don't understand your role, can't communicate, you ain't gonna have no enjoyment outside the bedroom and not even want to get in the bedroom. Amen, church. So you gotta understand the roles, amen. So we're gonna look at Ephesians 5 real quick. It's primarily where we're gonna stay in today. Ephesians 5. There we go. Ephesians 5 right here on the screen. It says this, 22.
Thank you.
Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
Amen.
That was a mouthful, wasn't it? Look at the women looking at them. The Bible really say that, Pastor? That scripture? Yes. Oh, Pastor Paul, he wrote that. It's no secret. I believe in men as being leaders. I believe we are the foundation. We are everything God created us first. And I'm not a chauvinist in any way, but I believe the burden of responsibility falls on us.
Yeah.
So we got to understand that I believe that if men submitted to God, this is no joke, that our communities will be better, our families will be better, our whole nation will be better if men just said, we're going to follow God and let God govern us, and we're going to govern our families according to God. I believe everything would be extremely better if men stood up. So I got to speak to my brothers, and I always know Pastor ain't never trying to beat you up, trying to pick you up. That's not my goal. That's we got it. Enough of the world beating us up. It's just no negativity out there. My goal is never to beat you up, but pick you up.
Yeah.
But I know sometimes when I'm dealing with stuff, because society's not going to tell you this. The television ain't going to tell you this. Only the Bible and a good leader and somebody that loves God is going to tell you what God said and what God means. So whenever I'm dealing with something, it's never to hurt you. It's never to harm you, but it's to help you.
That's it.
Remember that. That's never good. To hurt you, never to harm you, but to help you. And guess what? Truth hurts.
Amen.
If it wasn't for truth, I wouldn't be saved. Amen. Amen. If it wasn't for truth, some truth coming into my life, I wouldn't be able to get up and say, okay, I got to make a change.
Yeah.
So understand that truth is here to help you. But we see in verse 22, it says, wives, submit to your own husband. Keyword is own. Say own.
Oh.
Nobody else's. We see in verse 22, wives, submit to your own husband as unto the Lord.
Yeah.
So God, who created marriage, has his institution for the purpose of furthering his image into the world. So since God made the rules, he decides how marriage works. Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to kind of go back a little bit, and even on our notes, but I'm going to go back a little bit because I know how you said that men should want to live a godly life. They should want to, but, you know, be godly. But women got to want godly men.
Amen.
Like, we don't want godly men. We want the fast money. We want all of that. We don't want a godly man. So when a godly man is looking for you, he passes you right on up.
Soft.
And then you be like, you too soft. I need a hood chick. But man, you know, I'm a hood chick. You can be hood because I was a hood too. I just, you know what I mean? Like, but at the end of the day, when I was in church, and though I thought I wanted a hood man, though I thought I wanted a man that did fast lane, though I thought I wanted a man that smoked weed all the time, drank all the time, that's really not what I wanted.
Amen.
So I had to pray. Because at first, I didn't tell him that. So I was in the bed with you. I was doing all this stuff for you. Like I told you, I'm going to church. Church girl. Still doing all this stuff. What did he think I wanted in a man?
Right.
Because I was chasing everything that I didn't think I wanted. You know what I'm saying? So I thank God that he, you know what I'm saying? As women, we have to get our mind trained to not just be that fast money will be gone tomorrow.
Right.
Okay? And now get a job.
Right.
And keep it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't want consistency. Like, I need a consistent man in my life. Like, please, don't tell me you don't quit a job and you don't have one. Don't quit it and you have another one lined up. This ain't even in my notes, but I'm just swimming. You gotta do better. Quit telling the men to do better. We need to do better. Because if we put some pressure on them, they'll do better. Or they'll leave. Did you hear me?
Amen. I didn't leave.
Okay. All right. So let's go back. That wasn't even my notes, but I felt that real strong because we put so much pressure on the men, but these women put so much pressure on the men to supply for me to do this fast way. They don't want to wait 2 weeks for a paycheck.
Right.
They want it every day. You see what I'm saying? I need my hair done today.
No.
Yeah. Not make an appointment, but I need it today. So I'm thinking about submission, and we submit to everything else. If the police pulls you over, if you are in your right mind, you're going to what?
Submit.
You're going to pull over. Or you just want to go to jail and run from the police. But a lot of us don't. If I get pulled over today, I'm going to pull over. I'm not going to go on a high-speed chase. I'm not going to do all that because I know what comes with that, correct? Okay. Also, on our jobs, if my employer says do something, do it. Because what? I want a job. I'm sorry. You're not the boss. So you can't do what you want to do. If that's the case, be an entrepreneur.
Right.
But if I am a employee, I have to do what the employer says, or there is consequence. I get written up. I get points taken away. I might get suspended. It might be leave without pay. But we'll submit to all them people that don't mean it's no good, because jobs come today, gone tomorrow. But when it comes to God, not God, I can't do that. I don't know if it's because we don't see him. It's not like I can see you face to face. But we got to understand that the submission works the same with God, even more. We submit to God, everything else will fall in place.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's very good, very, very good point. So we must understand, like I said, God created marriage. So anything with any form of structure has some rules to it. Can we agree to that? Anything that has structure has rules. I know a lot of people like sports. Football, soccer, basketball, golf all have a ball involved, right? They all have a ball. But if someone's on a golf field getting ready to hit a golf ball and somebody showed up with shoulder pads and tackles that man and knocks him out, what's going to happen? They'll call the police. You want to jail? You can't tackle nobody on a golf field. It's not that kind of sport, but they both have some sport. Yeah. They both got a ball involved, but they have their own set of rules.
Right.
So God has designed marriage to have his own set of rules, but when you try to play by your own rules, the game don't go as supposed to go, y'all.
Yeah.
So you got to understand that why submission is very important. And then notice this, it said, wives, submit to your own husbands, and for the husband is head of the wife. He's speaking from a Christian term. So if any man is a Christian and refuses to submit to God, he's forfeited his wife to submit to him.
Wow.
Think about that.
Yeah, amen.
If I'm a Christian man, I'm a husband, and my wife wants to submit to me as unto the Lord, but I won't submit to God, how's she going to submit to me?
Right.
I'm a leader. I submit to God first, and then she follows. So we must understand that if we're going to be in leadership and as men as leaders, we have to have everything to fall into the right place. We've got to make sure we're doing our role as well. Amen?
Amen. Amen. All right, ladies. I'm back. I'm back, ladies. Look at me laughing. I'm back. So let me help you out a little bit, Pastor. I'm the submission kick. Submit. Do we even know what the word submit means? I think we all got our own definition of submit because we all submit to how we want to submit. We don't submit to what the Webster said. We submit how we want to submit. I'm only going to do this. You ain't getting nothing else. Just this. You ain't getting nothing else. So submit means that you recognize someone has legitimate authority over you. And I know y'all thinking, I'm Lady Thomas. I'm an independent woman. No. I wouldn't want anybody telling me what to do, how to do it, when to do it, where to go, what money to put here, what money to put there. Absolutely not. And y'all, I was an independent woman too. But it comes a time where all these independent women, y'all say y'all want to be independent, but then y'all say y'all want help. You confuse the man. I'm an independent woman, but where's my, I need this, but where's this? So if you're an independent woman and you want to be godly, you got to bring that down a little bit, a little notch. Nobody's not saying you can't be independent because at some point, we all have to have our own independency. But at some point, if you get married or you are married or trying to get married, if you divorce, you got to make sure you got that submission level right. We're going to talk about it later. Even if your husband ain't even worth being submitted to, we're going to deal with it. Because some of them ain't worth, so I'm not submitting to you. I don't care what they say. Lady and Pastor Thomas can say what they want to say. But you ain't worth it. But we're going to go there later. So women, no matter what, you when you get married, you're not your own.
Come on.
You're not your own.
Come on.
We are a unit. We a team. And we got to do this. So if you want to be your own, you probably need to be the nun and be, because you're not your own. If you get married, you can't be your own. It's real out here, okay?
Amen.
The two shall become one, praise God.
Yeah,
amen. You can't do your own thing, definitely. Let's look at this. We highlight these verses 23 and 24. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband, keyword own husband in everything.
Amen.
So the husband must be the head, just like Christ is the head of the church. So the Christian wife realized that her husband has God-ordained authority over her.
Mm-hmm.
That just as Christ is the authority over the church. So bros, we are the, if you ever wanted to be king of the castle, this is you king of the castle when you married. You are the king of the castle, but you are not a tyrant.
That's it.
Give me my truth. Give me this. Give me that. Give me that. That is not what king of the castle means. That's not. King of the castle means that I want to love my family and run it to the point that as Christ loves the church, I'm going to exemplify that with my family.
Right.
So I'm a loving leader. I'm a caring leader. And they're going to follow me because I'm modeling Christ's love.
Amen.
And she's going to be willing to give me
my
dress.
She's going
to
run it. Yeah.
I'm telling you, when a woman knows that you can listen to God, it changes her perspective of you. She understands. She doesn't have no problem. Guess what? And you might make a mistake.
That's it.
Right.
You might make a wrong decision, but she know your heart and know you love God. So if she knows that, she gonna be willing to follow that, because we all miss God sometimes. We all trying to hear him and understand it. Sometimes God allows us to miss us, to miss him, to see if we're gonna be consistent.
Yeah.
And we're gonna be able to stick with it, because sometimes a no just mean not yet.
Right.
So you gotta understand that. But God has likened us, the husband, to the Savior. That's deep, y'all. That God looks at us as the Savior. What did Jesus do? He delivered the church from sin, death, and hell. So the husband's job is to protect and provide for the family.
Yeah.
And when I do that, it leads them into submission.
Yeah.
See, we are the saviors of the wife. We are the deliverer of the wife. Just as Christ saved and delivered the church, God has called us to have that same responsibility.
Yeah.
But not only that, we also the sanctifier. So God says the husband is the Savior and the sanctifier. Boy, we got some big shoes to fill, don't we? Amen. He ain't playing with us. Look at the text. Look at the text. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself up for her, that he may sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she should be holy and without blemish. Amen. Bro, amen. I'm about to give y'all the key to successful marriage. Y'all ready for it? It's deep. Y'all ready? Look at verse 25. Love your wife.
Period. Period.
I almost set some chocolate and drop the mic right there. Love your wife.
Right.
That's it. Love your wife. I know what y'all think. Pastor, come on, bro. That's common sense. Love your wife. I wouldn't have married her if I didn't love her. I mean, I wouldn't even be looking to get married if I didn't love her. That's kind of common sense. Why would I marry her if I didn't love her? But we must understand what love is, because we just misuse the word love in the English context. I love the Colts. I love the Pacers. I love this drink. I love this food. I love this team. I love this. How do we compare a human being to a beverage? Think about that.
That's good.
How am I able to compare a beverage to a human being? I love this and I love that. No, we must understand what love is. We must understand what love is. So if I love something, check this out. If I love it, I'm going willing to sacrifice for it.
Yeah.
So if I love the woman, I'm willing to sacrifice for her. Notice nowhere in scripture does it command the wife to love the husband.
Wow. That's deep.
But God says, husbands, love your wives. Not once does he tell her to love me.
That's deep.
And then he ain't got to tell her to love me.
Right.
Why? Because women got different.
Right.
Yeah. Y'all Ken and Barbie at 3 and 4. Playing, we got Ken and Barbie lined up. The wedding date, the dress, the little kid Barbie, the family.
Yeah.
3 or 4.
Amen.
Y'all built different.
Right.
Y'all dream about y'all prince coming to save you. We play with G.I. Joes and Transformers. Y'all think about the prince coming to save y'all, marry y'all. You know, I mean, I won't be sex in the album, but majority of women are already thinking about being married ever since a little girl.
That's for real.
They want to love their husband.
That's true.
God has put that in. Y'all talked about the rib, and now the rib is already made for the husband, so y'all are already made for a husband. So God is trying to show y'all that y'all are made different from us, so we got to learn how to love y'all, because we're built different.
Mm-hmm.
We got to show y'all that we love y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But see, this is why so many singles get in trouble right here, and you can't get rid of no good people. Because you done got a soul tie now. And now you in love now. And check this out, it's crazy. He wasn't your husband, but you gave him your husband's luxury.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. I give a moment of silence for that. I don't think you heard it. He wasn't your husband, but you gave him your husband's luxury.
Hold on. So why marry?
I ain't got to that. Okay. Why buy the cow if the milk's for free? We don't get there. But you gave him your husband's luxury. He wasn't your husband, but you was everything a wife should be. But you was cooking and cleaning and folding clothes and taking care of this and doing everything a wife should be, but he wasn't trying to be a husband to you. So you put yourself in a position to get your heart broke. Because like she said, why buy the calf? The milk is for free. And guess what? It's easier to leave when you ain't committed to something. Break up and divorce is two different things. So when we break up, I can put my stuff in a bag. I can leave it where I can be. I'll take my TV off the wall. You have a good day. I have a good day. We get a divorce. We got to get some lawyers involved. We got to get some court issues. We got to go downtown and talk. We got to pay some money. easier to leave when I'm not committed to something.
Yeah.
True. Y'all better understand.
Period.
Y'all better understand the difference between marriage and not, because some people think they've been together so long, they married. We've been together, it's like, no, you're not, it's different. You can leave today and it's over. Ain't nothing happening. But understand, husbands, love your wife. See, love has to go beyond what she can do for me.
Yeah.
Because we can think, I love her, she cleans, she cooks, she'll rub my back. She does this, she does that, she does that. That's her loving you, that's not you loving her. So we don't think about that. We love them for all that they do, but that's not me loving them. That's them showing that love for me, because love is sacrificial. So God says, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did Jesus love the church? He had to give us an example of Christ loving the church. He gave himself up for her.
Yeah.
So what God wants us to have, like Christ love, that's unreserved love. That means I'm not holding nothing back. That means whatever it takes, I'm going to love her. I'm going to fight for her. I'm going to do whatever. I got to have unreserved love. Because reserved love is kind of, I might want to, I might not. It's fickle.
Yeah.
Today I might want to do it. Today I might not want to do it. Right. I can't have that. Ain't the kind of love Jesus give us, is it?
Right.
Jesus, well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't hold back his only begotten son.
Right.
So what else? God wants us to have selfless love. Yeah, Jesus on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you forgive your wife because she know not what she do? Just saying. Think about it. She going to make mistakes too. She ain't perfect. She human.
That's it.
Got issues just like you got issues. Can you forgive her in the midst of her being wrong in two left shoes? I'm still going to forgive you and love you. Also, what it is, Christ gave us what? He gave us sacrificial love. Yeah, mm-hmm. He died on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
He gave up himself for us, the church. And guess what? Any perfect people here today, praise God, didn't think so. So Jesus died for the church, all of our imperfect selves.
Yeah.
All of us with our issues, our lying, our cheating, our just messed up, whatever we've done, all of things, Jesus died for that. Yeah. And still willing to welcome us back. That's how we got to love our wives, y'all. That's a heavy order. But God is trying to show us something. Amen. Go ahead. I want you to go for a minute.
Well, I'm on your side, man. Look at me. I'm on your side. So, men, I'm not saying to us as women it's easy to protect. We ain't easy to handle. We ain't easy to get along with. Just us being women sometimes is just a struggle for a man to try to figure out, like, what's wrong with you today? I don't even feel like figuring it out. I just don't. But that's when you have to tap into your God-given strength.
Amen.
And protect your wife and ensure her that she feels secure. You know what I'm saying? If I feel secure, I'm probably going to act a different way. You know what I mean? Just women, just I need to feel a security. If you make me feel insecure, I figure out what's wrong with me. Figure it out. You know what I'm saying? It could be a bill that's not paid. It can be me not, I need want this meal. We just so fickle as women, too. We just don't know what we want ourselves. But that's when, if you as men tap into it, you will know how to protect her. You will know what she wants. You will know where to take her. You will know what food to give her today. You might just know to just be quiet and say nothing to her. I ain't saying nothing to her today. And if she asks me, I'm going to tell her why. So, she must know that you will protect her at any cost of your own life. Like, he'll die for me. Won't you? I know he'll die for me. He's going to step in the forefront of that battle. He's going to die for me, because that's just what God wants the men to do.
Amen.
That's just what he wants the men to do. And the Bible says in John 15:13, that greater love has no demand than this, than someone that'll lay down his life for a friend. Amen. And yeah, we talk about our friends here and there, but it first starts at home.
Right.
You got to lay down your life for your wife. Don't talk about, bro, I got you forever. I'm going down with you no matter what. Well, get home. Go down with her first. Bro comes. I don't even know when bro comes, because he ain't even going to be down for you. You're going to run. But your wife's going to be there, because she's just that nurturer, and she's that caring. She's that. But when I feel so insecure, when I feel like you're securing me, I don't know. be today. Your food's in there. Not that it's right, ladies, because you still have to submit. We're going to get to that later, but I just thought I'd help y'all out, man.
Yeah, that's good. And that happened to me in real life. I was 19. I had to have surgery on my throat. I had a cyst in my throat. And that's it was the bad. That's the one even won yet. And I was scared. I don't have no surgery. You know what I mean? I think I still got this car to cut up on my throat and take a cyst out. You know, it was cancer or anything. And I'm telling y'all, and I had bros, I had all kind of dudes I was down with, whatever. When I was in the hospital, my mama and Jennifer were the only people there with me. Praise God, amen. Only two people that came to see me in the hospital. And not that, you know, I don't know why they couldn't make it, the case may be, but that goes to show you, though, you have a woman that's down for you and really loves you. You got to honor that and respect that. You know what I mean? That's one of the things that kind of changed my mind towards her. Like, dang, she's really down for me because I didn't think nobody was coming but my mama. You know what I mean? My mama hurt Destiny. 10, 11 months, and then that's come high. That's the speaker. Yeah, doctor, look at her. Little baby speaking in here, what's going on? Little baby speaking and stuff, but she was down for me, man. But that's important. We got to understand when you got real love, you got to hold it down and keep that because it's precious, y'all. But by modeling Christ, and I'm the husband, I'm the sanctifier. It says by the washing of the water, I get to wash her with the water of the word. So if I'm her sanctifier, I'm her savior, guess what? She can console me. Mm-hmm. So something might have happened when she's 12 years old and she might not even tell nobody. She can lay in my arms.
That's it.
And tell me about it. Just like she's telling God. Right. Not that I'm God, but I give her that kind of, that relationship that she can hold in my arms and talk to me about anything. Okay. And that's how she's got to be your best friend. She got to be able to live in your arms and be able to lay it all on the line for you. Just like you lay it all on the line with prayer with God. We go to God with prayer. We just come and say, God, I lay it all down. She got to feel comfortable with you to be able to lay it down with you. Because look at it. It says the husband said that he's a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such blemish.
Yeah.
So I'm the husband. I got the power to clean up blemishes. Yeah. So if I see fear over her, I can say, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound of mind. I cancel that spirit in the name of Jesus. She might not be feeling pretty today. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the Lord. A charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. But a woman that loves the Lord is worthy to be praised. Amen. I can speak that over her. A lady Thomas did life school, y'all. She got a bachelor's degree, Craig. I did life school. Then one of us school. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. I can speak that over her. I can watch her. I'm the sacrifier. I watch her with the water of the word. And when I do that to her, she's speaking back into my life
that's
too. The more whole she gets, the more spiritually healthy she gets, the more emotionally healthy she be, the better wife she gonna be for me. Why wouldn't I want the best version of her? Why wouldn't I want that? So the more I take care of her and help her, you're like, the more we get right with God, the more he loves her, that's when I get to be the best version of Christian I could be. Same rules apply to the marriage, y'all.
That's good.
We must understand that if you're gonna love your wife, you must understand, I got to love her like Christ loved this imperfect church. Praise God. Amen. That's how I got to love her.
That's good. Amen.
So let's look at verse 28. We back at it again. So husbands ought to love their own wives. Keyword, own wives. That's the keyword. Instead of the text, own.
Yeah.
So husbands, again, God is telling us ought to love your own wives as their own bodies. What? He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it just as the Lord does the church.
Yeah.
Skip to verse 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Amen.
Now, I skipped over 31, 30, and 32. I'm sorry, the pastor and me, I just got to say something because I got to make sure I cover the verses. I never want to be sloppy. But 30 and 32, Paul is reciting what Adam told Eve, that you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and the two shall become one flesh. So, and he said it's a great mystery about marriage because it's an example of our relationship with God. So God built marriage to further his image, but also give us a visual relationship, visual thing of the relationship of us and him. So in heaven, guess what? It's no marriage. She's not going to be my wife in heaven. She's going to be my best friend, not my wife. Why? Because you don't need a replica when you got the real thing. Praise God. When you got the real thing, you don't need another version of another copy. So God says no marriage in heaven. But if we look at this is the third time in 11 verses that Paul said the husband has to love his wife.
Yeah.
Paul says, okay. If you don't understand this Jesus in the church thing, that Christ died for you, if you don't get that, check this out. I'm going to break it down for you. Love her like you love your own body.
Okay.
It don't get no simpler than that. You can't figure out that Jesus acknowledges it. Cool. Okay. Let me get on your level. Right. Love her like you love your own body. Wow. You take care of it and you nourish it.
For real.
The great American poet, rest his soul, Soldier Slim. Y'all know Soldier Slim, praise God. That great poet, he said something like this. I ain't never forgot. He said, ain't nobody going to ride for me like I'm going to ride for me. Ain't nobody gonna die for me like I'm gonna die for me.
Yeah.
So in that aspect, same thing with my wife. Ain't nobody gonna, if I'm gonna love myself like that, I gotta project that on her how I love myself.
Yeah.
That's deep. The attitude has to be applied for the love of our wives as well. Amen.
Amen.
Ladies, I'm back. So, back to the submission thing. We can't submit to our husbands just when he makes the right decisions. We want him to cater to us. We want him to just basically what I said before, know everything that we like. You should know what I like. You should know this, you should know that. But there's gonna be some times and some days where he just wanna make you scream. He's not gonna, it's just you go, like literally. It's been some times where I've screamed, but early into my marriage, we were trying to figure some things out. But in the midst of that, you still have to submit. You still got to cook. You still got to clean his clothes. You still got to handle your duties as a wife with our emotional selves. You still have to do it because it's what God says. And it's what this is what the Lord commands, and it shows our submission to him. So not only does the husbands have to submit to God, we do too. Like, we submit to our husbands. It shows the Lord that we care for him. And we submit to him. So I don't know if you guys ever heard about the story of Sarah and Abraham, which is a great example of a godly submissive wife. We're going to go to 1 Peter. Okay, 1 Peter 3. For this manner, in formal times, the holy women who trusted in God also adored themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. When she called her husband Lord, that didn't mean Lord, like you my Lord. You know what I'm saying? That didn't mean like God Lord in that sense of a you know, master. But let's say the 2019 version. Anybody know the 2019 version? Big Daddy, the Daddy, Poppy. Y'all know, don't y'all be. They acting all holy with me, Pastor. Some of y'all ain't even married, and y'all calling on Big Daddy, Poppy, give it to me. Come on, I'm just. Y'all still looking like y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm saying it. Because it's funny how. We get married and we don't want to call him nothing. That's my husband. All right, babe. We don't want to call him nothing. That boosts their ego up. I call you Daddy? What? That boosts the ego up. We can be single and be like, yes, that's my Big Daddy. Don't you ever touch it because he's my Daddy. He makes me happy. He did that. And you get married and just. We talk about him, we get home. No, women. So some of y'all call these men this and they not even your husband, like I said, and you get married and you don't get loose. You all loose before marriage. You get married and you just no, got a headache. No, I don't feel like it. No, I'm cramping. No, ain't no nothing coming from nothing. I'm cramping. No, we good at that, Pastor.
Amen.
They like, Lady Thomas, I didn't know you was like that. Yeah. What's going on, Lady Thomas?
But good point, right before I move on to the next point of communication. But notice, saying she calling him Lord, Big Daddy, whatever the case may be.
Get your thoughts together.
Lady Thomas is trippy, I'm trying to tell y'all. Y'all first lady crazy. But, get your thoughts together. So, as much as she loves me and everything else, but she knows, she said, I can't love him more than God. because if she loves me more than God, that's mentally wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Think about that.
That's good.
I'm not God. I'm going to make her mad at some point in life.
Yeah.
And I got to know that she can pray for me or go to God, because if she looks at me as God and I disappoint her in some way and make her that mad, if she ain't falling on God's arms, who she going to fall? Who arms she going to fall to?
Okay.
Another man's? That was a lie. So she got to understand, and husband and wife, vice versa, that I can't put you on a pedestal of God.
Yeah.
That's mentally wrong.
Yeah.
I got to, you right here, you want a God, but God got to be the top, because we human. If I depend that much on another human, I'm really just created me an idol.
Right.
And God don't want no false idols, amen?
Amen.
All right, I want to make sure I said that, because I don't want y'all to think he everything. Now, he good. He can't be everything, though.
Right.
All right, communication. Somebody say communication.
Communication.
All right, communication. So we're going to talk about communication. Let's start with prayer. Do you pray together at all? And if you do, how often do you pray?
That's good.
Communication. First Peter, still in First Peter, next verse after she just read, says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them, speaking of your wives, with understanding, give honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I have to treat her in such a way with understanding that my prayers aren't hindered. Think about that. The way I treat her determines how my prayers are answered. So what if I'm not treating her right and we both praying? Are anybody's prayers maybe even getting answered right now?
Yeah.
Are they just hitting God, hitting the ceiling and falling right back down?
Mm.
There's no forgiveness because we're being bitter with each other, because we're arguing with each other. We're not listening. We're not communicating.
Yeah,
and our prayers ain't going nowhere. I'm going to let her go for a while. How's prayer changed our lives?
Well, we start off praying together. Like I said, I was a church girl. And I'm like, if we going to do anything else, we're going to pray. Like, I know how to pray. We're going to pray. So in the mornings, we'll pray over the phone before I went to work, he went to work. And then at night, no matter what time it was, I went to bed early. Pastor thought that he was going to bed. He wasn't going to bed. You know, he left me praying for me. But then, you know, he might go do whatever he wanted to do. But at that time, I wasn't worried. I just prayed and asked God to cover our relationship, cover, you know, I'm not there all the time. I wasn't his wife at the time. So you as girlfriends or whatever it may be, you're not going to be there all the time. You're not. So prayer is really important. It starts there, because you don't know throughout the day. You know what I'm saying? You don't know who might try to come into their life. You just don't know. So prayer really changed our life at the beginning. And as of 13 years this year, we still pray in the morning and we still pray at night.
Amen. Amen.
I think we've been doing it for almost 16 years.
Amen.
We probably started doing it right around after, well, about when Destiny was born. It was before then.
Around that time.
So it doesn't, prayer is prayer, y'all. And you got to just make sure, even if the other don't want to do it, you have to take the initiative and do it. It might sound crazy, but I guess what? They going to like that prayer. The fact that you're consistent, she can pray for me? Okay, she's a keeper. Not arguing, not doing all that, but the prayer is what works. We're going to talk about praying together increases trust and intimacy with your spouse. Intimacy is built on trust. And trust is built on how we respond, being vulnerable with each other. Once again, back to women. If I don't feel like I trust you, go on back out there where you are. Go on somewhere. And he may not even be doing nothing. But us as women, our minds be running a mile a minute. And we just think they may just be sitting outside around the corner playing games with us. And where you been? Go back where you came from. So when we don't have that trust, and really, women, you got to trust and be secure within yourself.
That's right.
It starts here. If you're not secure in yourself here, you're going to be crazy.
For real.
Seriously. Yep. I was there.
Yep.
I'm just going to tell y'all, I would be at pastor's job. Miss Tammy, I was crazy. We told her about it a couple months ago. No, last month in Florida. She was like, I would be at her house. I know she was out of town. I'm ringing doorbells. Don't you knock down my mama's door. Come out. Like, that's kind of how I was. And that's how we are. You know what I'm saying? We following them. We putting trackers on their phone, on their car. What?
Lord.
No, that's no trust.
Right.
And if I don't trust you, that makes me feel some type of way.
Right.
So women, we have to be secure in ourselves to say no matter what. You know what I'm saying? I know there was more girls out there that, you know what I'm saying, wanted to be with him. But I had to know who I was. Right. And if it's meant for us, we're going to do this thing. Right. If it's not, then you'll be a great father.
Right.
Did I tell you that one day? Destiny will have a great stepdaddy. That's when it really got on and popped. Oh, no. She ain't having no stepdaddy. You know what I'm saying? So you just have to get secure in yourself. And when women, you secure in yourself, that'll change the whole thing. Nothing really won't bother you anymore. So we spoke on it earlier, the standpoint with feeling secure and being able to trust. And in our prayers, we sometimes women, we act on emotion, like I told it, and don't feel things. The emotion brings gaps into the intimacy. So if I don't feel like it today, or I feel like he did something I didn't want him to do, then no, I'm not getting to bed. No, I do got a headache. Yeah, I am putting on a onesie. And no, not today. Only because we are emotional, and we as women, we can't be like that, because we're not our own.
Right.
And I'm just telling you, we're not our own. But at the same time, ladies, that are already married, the ones that are seeking to be married, you have to connect with your spouse in an intimate way. And if not, there's going to be a disconnection. Disconnection. And disconnection of faith, disconnection of everything. So in your relationship, you got to fight. It's like a war, literally. You got to fight harder, fight for what you want, fight for your man, if that's what you really want. The first question I want to ask is, was y'all going to church together before y'all got married?
Nope.
Was he praying for you before you got married? Was he supplying for you like that before you got married? Or was he taking everything from you?
Wow.
These are the questions I really want y'all to see, like, and think about this. And even the ones that are not married, these are the questions, because they might seem like they're doing all this stuff right now. And then when you get married, you're going to be like, what happened? You know what I'm saying? Where'd it go? So we as women just need to make sure we're in the right space. We have to be in the right space. And we can't blame God or get mad at our spouse when they are not doing where we are right now. If I'm in church and I'm doing this, I'm coming every Sunday, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and then I'm leaving you staying at home, you can't get mad. All you can do is pray, because you married them, and you knew what you married before you married. I'm so sick of telling people it changed after we got married. Something was there. Something. Look a little harder. So women that's not married, look a little harder. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't want to get in a marriage and, you know what I'm saying, you really, he might not be going to church, but that's what you did. So don't trip on him now. Pray for him. That's my whole point. Pray for him. Get him to a point to where he knows you're praying for him. He knows you're going to be there for him. Regardless of what goes on, you're there. So you still have to go home. You still need to cook. You still need to do what you're supposed to do. You still need to say, hey, y'all, you want to go out to eat? You didn't go to church today. We go. You want to go get something to eat? Like, you still have to be that wife. Amen? And that's what will connect them to Christ.
Amen.
It's like now you're in the middle. So it's like, if you have an attitude and you come from church and you go home mad, they never coming to church. Don't even ask them, because they not coming. Because if that's what's pastor teaching you over there, don't worry about it. I'll stay home. So women, get it together. Get it together. Get it together. And if it's not working right now, he's not where you need to be, continue to pray and he will get there. But sometimes you gotta take what you got a little bit. If he's a supplier at home and he's doing what he need to do at home and he's doing all that, then pray and say, baby, good job. Keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And then God will eventually bring him around.
That's right.
And even if he don't come around, he's still your husband. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Real quick. So a couple books I want to suggest that you all get if you are married or looking to be married. These books have helped us out over here. The Power of Praying Husband and The Power of Praying Wife.
Mm-hmm.
This book taught me how to pray for my wife.
Yeah.
Amen. Because you think, okay, I'm praying, but what am I praying for? Just some of the things the book covers. Her spirit, her emotions, her motherhood, her moods, her marriage, her submission, her beauty, her sexuality, her fears, her purpose, her protection, her deliverance, her obedience, her future. How many of y'all praying that kind of stuff? Didn't think so. So, but this book taught me how to pray for her, and you got the same thing with the man, but the man, they got different. A lot of it's the same, but a lot of things are different because men and women are different.
Yeah.
So we got to make sure that we're praying and covering each other because prayer is important, y'all.
Yeah,
you gotta understand how important prayer is. Check this out, shocking stat, 50% of marriages end in divorce. Wow. Most of us probably knew that. 50% end in divorce. 78% of second marriages end in divorce. Wow. But less than 1% of couples who pray together get divorced.
That's good.
Because God designed it His way.
Yeah.
And when we choose not to do it His way, it's not going to end up how it's supposed to end up.
Yeah.
But less than 1%, they don't even give y'all those numbers. Why? Because the world don't want you to pray.
Yeah.
Prayer is power. We must understand how powerful prayer is. And we're not even going to get to all this. We're going to do a marriage weekend or something. Amen.
Yeah.
But another book is The Five Love Languages. Amen. By Gary Chapman. It's another book. And I could stay here for a while. So we got to do something else. But he's an awesome author, a marriage counselor, and expert. And he says the reason couples have trouble communicating is because they haven't learned each other's love languages. So you got to understand what their love languages are, how they communicate, and how they talk. And all that is important. And I want to say this is a precursor. Just because I might not be giving you your love language don't mean I don't have to love you. Because that's selfish love. Remember, it's love is sacrificial.
Yeah.
So you might not be doing exactly, you might not love me how I need you to love me, but I'm still going to love you because I'm going to help build that love in you.
Yeah.
Amen. So we got to understand that. And he says emotional love languages and the language of our spouse can be as different as Chinese from English. Mm. That we might speak a total different language when it comes to love because of how we were raised and how we were created. So all these things could have happened. We have 30 years built up. Over the last 30 years, my life could determine how I love and how I view love. And he says we have to keep each other's love tank full. So I ain't got time to teach y'all that because we've been here for a while. I don't want to keep y'all all day. I'm going to go ahead and skip a couple slides real quick. But we got to understand the five love languages, words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch are the five love languages. So you got to find yourself in here. What is my love language? What is a word of affirmation? That means that I compliment you. I speak into your life. Some people need that. They need to be affirmed to have somebody speak into their life. Tell her thank you for cooking. Thank you for washing the dishes. Thank you for doing this. And it's not about being flattering to get what I want. That's manipulation. We don't do that. I'm not telling you nice things. I'm trying to get something out of you. That's not how it works. But if she might want that, it might be quality time, spending time together. Guess what? We married. We got to make a date night. Mm-hmm. Praise God. If you're going to get married, you better tell the kids bye.
Yeah.
But learn to get a babysitter. Because I tell my kids all the time. They're like, y'all leaving us again? Yes. Do you want us to get divorced? I mean, do you want us to stay married? Yes, good. Let us go and be by ourselves. Because if we don't have that time, and it's important. We love y'all. Love giving you all the time we can. But we got to learn how to connect. Because guess what? One minute, y'all going to be groaning out my house.
Yeah.
And then what? We sit on the couch mad at each other. Don't know each other. Don't like each other. Y'all grown with your own kids and your own husband and wife? No.
Yeah.
Quality time is important. We got to understand that. Plan for dates. All those things. Gifts. Some people might like gifts love language. They might be something as a child that when they got gifts, they were excited. Doesn't mean you're a selfish person. You just might like gifts. There ain't nothing wrong with that, amen. You just might be a person that likes gifts, acts of service. Men be like, well, I paid all the bills. That should be enough act of service she needs, amen. I didn't pay everything in the house, mom. But she needs more than that, amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Sometimes it might be cleaning up the dishes or vacuuming or doing something like that. You know what I mean? Little things that she sees me do that might have her really, really happy and excited about that. Amen. Mm-hmm. You want to touch on any of that?
No, I think I'm good. I just wanted to say, I'm not going to say everything that I had, but marry what you like. And I know Pastor has said that before, but when it comes to marrying, just marry what you like. He should be able to, y'all should be able to communicate that before y'all even marry. You know, he should know this is what she likes, but then he may not, because sometimes people give you what they like. And they think, well, that's my, so I'm giving you physical touch because that's what I want. And we have to understand that everybody has their own love language. So pray for that. If he's giving you something that's not my love language, well, let's figure out how we can kind of show him what your love language is. You know, there's some hints you can do. There's some things you can do. But while you're dating, start getting that together first. That way when you get married, it'll just add on. Amen?
Amen. Amen. So if she don't like gifts, buying her gifts is not going to make her be happy. You know what I mean? If it's quality time, she don't want the gift. She wants the time with you. She'd rather just go out to eat. She'd rather go to the movies or walk on the canal. Right. And you keep hearing, it go Gucci purse, it go this, it go that. Right. Not even what I really want. You know what I'm saying? Right. So you gotta learn to love the person and see what they like. That's the importance of the love language. Yeah. It helps you love you better. Because sometimes men, we think about give her. That's all she wants. She cool. And that might not, like Lady Thomas is not that person. She's not a gift person. She's a quality time, acts of service person. You know what I'm saying? So if I keep getting her gifts, she's gonna be like, okay, fine, thank you. But that's not what she wants, and she's not gonna be happy.
Yeah.
And my job is showing her that I love her, so I want to make her happy. Amen. Yeah. All right, last thing, we're gonna get out of here. Intimacy, and I'm sorry, we got to come back and revisit this because we ain't got enough time to cover all this. But real quick, 1 Corinthians, right here, check this out. It says this: let husbands render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. So when you are married, look at that. For you want to get married, your body don't belong to yourself. Right. Yeah, look at y'all. Look at the women. Look at here. Headaches. She said her headaches. And man, I got the aspirin for you. I don't wait for no headache. I got aspirin. I got it. Just come here real quick. So we understand that you don't get to go to bed and be upset and onesies. Your woman get mad and one wear onesies and one wear this. And you can't do that because you got to understand that the two come together and become one.
Right.
That God has placed against sex as a gift to married people. It's a powerful gift. Right. He said the only time y'all shouldn't do it is if y'all dedicate yourself to fasting and prayer. And if y'all, as soon as y'all done, y'all go have sex. Y'all go come together. Why? Because the devil waiting.
Yeah.
Right. That's what he's doing. Right. Y'all beefing and ain't having sex and communicating. Here goes some girl by the water fountain. Want to talk to you today? You ain't talking to me. I've been working here 2 years. What you talking to me for today? What? I ain't that cute. Get away from me right now, devil. Get away. That's how he work, y'all. He conniving. He's slick. Y'all beefing at home and ain't coming together. Ain't putting y'all marriage together and becoming one. He sent that guy. That guy want to tell you how good you look today and what I'm going to offer to buy your lunch. What? I don't even know your name. Why you won't buy my lunch today? The devil is slick and conniving, y'all. So it's important that the marriage couples, keyword, married couples, come together because God called us to do that. Amen. Because it brings us together as one. Amen. And then the last scripture, and we're going to get out of here. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed is undefiled.
Yeah.
But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. So God is saying, I talked about this before, that we must understand that God designed sex. It's his gift to marriage people. The enemy perverted it and perversed it. But it's God's gift. And look at that. The marriage bed is honorable and undefiled. So God is saying when you are married, it's honorable to me. Because the husband and wife come together, he looks at it like worship.
Mm-hmm.
That is deep. That it's like worship to God. So we must understand that God is giving that to us as a gift between husband and wife. And he wants to bless us with it when we do it his way.
Yeah.
Because when it's his way, the baby is a blessing, not a burden.
Right.
When you do it his way, STDs don't worry. We ain't got to worry about STDs. When you do it his way, we ain't got to talk about abortion. When we do it his way, it's a blessing, not a burden. And I can see for myself when I had some burdens because I decided to have sex before marriage. And I got entangled with the wrong person. They got caught up with this and caught up with that. All of us have had some burdens sometimes. We don't wait to do it God's way. So God wants to give it to us so it's a blessing and not a burden. Amen.
Amen.
We give God a praise in this place. Amen. Thank you all for rocking with us today. We might have to do another part. I don't know. Marriage night or something.